Programming at Grow Haze is ramping up for the new year. Find out all the details from director Doug Williams on this episode of the Post Podcast. Well, we've got a lot of things that we wanted to cram in today, but the biggest one was there was a meeting last night at the Haze City Commission where we got some news about the housing development, right? Or you shared news with them.
Yes, I went to the City of Haze work session last night and shared with them the what we're trying to do with our affordable housing project on the east side of town. You and I talked about it last week, and I met with the commission last night. It was a work session, so they can take no action on anything. And I didn't ask them to, but I did ask them to consider revising the current development policy as it relates to RHIDs, which is a Rural Housing Incentive District, which is what we're going to be asking for. Because the policy now is written more for apartments than it is for single-family homes. Mm. And this development will be all single-family residences. And so we are asking them to modify it or make an exception and take the clause out that states that there will be 10 low-income apartments included in any RHID development.
Oh, I see. Because, I mean, yeah, that's kind of tricky. If you're building houses, you don't want to build a 10-apartment complex just to be able to build your houses.
Correct.
Too.
I don't think the when they developed that policy, they didn't foresee a purely residential, single-family residential neighborhood in an RHID. And so it kind of doesn't fit. It's limiting. And so I asked them to consider modifying the existing policy or making an exception for this development. I think they all feel like that's something they will consider. I think they hopefully will take action at their meeting next week to do one or the other, either modify it or make an exception for certain situations. They like the idea that this was basically a not-for-profit organization doing this development, the Heart of America Development Corporation. They like the thought process of this type of home, which doesn't exist today. We talked a little bit about what affordable housing really is and the fact that that's very subjective and each person out there is going to have a little bit different opinion as to what affordable housing is. But one of the commissioners actually did some research on the market and the number of homes between 175 and 225, which is the projected range that we're talking about, in all of Ellis County, there's like 20 of them for sale right now. And the vast majority of them are pre-1980 homes. Not that they haven't been updated in some cases and that kind of thing, but the reality is there is a strong need and demand for this price range.
Yeah, and we don't want to get into all that again because we talked pretty substantially about that last week.
We did.
Yeah, I know we've even seen or had heard some comments here about, you know, that being not affordable. And I would just recommend, since we've already had that conversation, if you're curious about what really affordable housing means, go back and listen to last week's show. It is on the Post Podcast. It's available to listen to. And you can hear all that and find out that really it's not, yes, it's higher than I think a lot of people think base housing should cost in Haze, but it's really for the people that we're trying to get into Haze, you know, young professionals, starting a family, It's more than affordable, generally.
Generally it is, particularly in the fact that it was be new, because new is always going to be more expensive. And if it comes the way we have it planned, there won't be any special assessments, which adds additional affordability to it. And I would also add, in terms of affordable housing, we have our housing rehab program that we operate, and that provides homes under 145 and under. So we potentially hit a niche there that if someone can't afford 175, there's opportunity there for them to get what is essentially a brand new home by the time they're done for 145 or less.
Yeah, I have one of those, not on my block, but about a block down from my house, watching what he's doing there, or she, I don't know who they are, but
right.
Oh man, whew, it's incredible. Work that they put into that house, and they're going to make a it's a win-win-win. City wins, people moving in win.
Neighborhoods win.
Yeah.
The developer hopefully wins. The subcontractors who do the work, you know, they get jobs, and they buy materials at the lumber yards, and everybody wins in that program. They really do. We don't have as many as we would like simply because we have a limited availability of funds to be able to fund those projects. We can do three or maybe four at a time. And I would add, if anybody out there is looking to do that, we do have some funds available right now to do another one. We just got paid off on one.
Ooh.
And so any flippers or handymen that think they've got the capability to do that should get out there, find a home, and bring it to us, and we'll consider it.
Very good. Well, we want to move on. We want to talk about, you've got some events that are coming up. And again, I think you mentioned that you had originally planned to have a guest with us today. She didn't make it in because of the weather. But this is a big event coming up, Growing Rural Business. It's like a seminar, I think you said?
Well, it's actually an 8-week course.
Oh, okay.
It's conducted by the Center for Entrepreneurship out of Wichita State, Network Kansas, who is one of our partners, and they've sponsored lots of events for us. They do some great things for us. They sponsored our Youth Entrepreneurship Challenge and some of our other our Think Like an Entrepreneur class. But this is an 8-week class starting on February 13th. It'll be every Thursday for 8 weeks from 5:30 till 8:30 in the evening. We feed you. We have the course content. It's excellent. Great opportunity for any existing business owners or prospective business owners to go through this. I think they'll get a lot of benefit from it. And there is a charge for it. Normally it's $300, but we're offering the first six to sign up half price. And you can't even get the meals for that. 8 meals would cost you almost that much. And mm-hmm. So I don't think anybody that's goes through it will regret it. It's an excellent course.
And we've talked to, I don't know how many times about, you know, especially in the extremely rural communities west of here, how important the development, the entrepreneurship, and, you know, kind of just doing your own thing is. The model's changing. It's not you go to work for a big company, because those jobs, number one, they're not moving out here. And two, they're going away just in general everywhere, right?
Sure. There's lots of factors, but absolutely we have to grow our own in rural America. And so that's why entrepreneurship is so important to grow Hayes into our community, because we can't count on the large employers, Fortune 500 companies, locating operations here and employing large numbers of people. They just aren't looking to do that. We'll work on getting them, and if we can, that's great, but by and large, we're on our own out here. We've got to develop our own businesses, grow our own, help the ones we have grow, you know, try not to be inhibit their growth, try and help them find employees, like with getting rural, affordable housing and that type of thing, because we're going to have a difficult time attracting outside businesses to come into these communities. That's just the fact of life.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, but that's the way the world goes.
Well,
things,
you know,
change, and
things
you've
change.
Got to
yeah.
adapt.
We've got to. So that'll be kicking off on February the 13th, and you can sign up on our website or call us, whatever. We're hoping to have 15, 20 people, just like we did in our Think Like an Entrepreneur class, and we're confident that we will. We also have our first Trispective Speaker Series event on February the 4th.
Yeah, those are huge events for you guys. They can get a large crowd, don't they?
We do. We draw a good crowd, and we have some great speakers. We have had some great speakers. We plan to have some great speakers for that one. We don't have everybody locked down just yet, or I would tell you who it was. But they come in and they tell their story. You know, they're entrepreneurs, they're business people. They tell their story, how they've been successful, but also how they've had problems and their failures. And it's just a great evening to hear that. We keep them relatively short, 15, 20-minute talks, and then a little bit of Q&A, and then we move on to the next one. We have three, hence try, and we have three speakers at each event. Lasts about an hour to an hour and a half. We have them in our meeting room at Brief Space, and they've been well attended, and they're real good sessions. I would encourage anybody to come out and watch those. And then on February 18th, we have our first Pitch It event of the year, which is the...
Yeah, these are the cool ones. These are the ones...
These are the Shark Tank kind
yeah.
of deals. And we have five presenters who present their business ideas. It's a competition. The winner gets $500. There are three judges who judge the presentation. Each presenter gives a 5-minute pitch, followed by some Q&A from the judges. And then the judges retire and decide who wins the $500. So they're a lot of fun. We try and match up people with ideas with people with resources, whether it be bankers or accountants or investors or just people who experience business, people who can help. Again, going back to that whole entrepreneurship concept that we've got to grow our own out here, and this is an opportunity for people to come forth and present their ideas.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people, that the whole entrepreneurship idea is kind of frightening because they don't know where how to start, how to kick it off, you know. And this, I think, not only can you maybe win a little bit of money to help you put your idea into practice, but also connect you with all those folks that have either been there, this event and the Trispectives. Right. They've been there, they've done it, they know the pitfalls. And one of the cool things I think with the business community here is everybody likes to see everybody else succeed. You know, there's no cutthroat, no, you're moving into my business world and I'm going to, you know, get you out so I can do better. Everybody seems to want to do everybody else to do well.
Well, I agree. You know, certainly the people we have had speak at our Trispective, some of the most open and willing to help people you're ever going to find. And I find that to be the case with a lot of successful people. They're more than willing to help, to offer ideas and support to new business people. And that's what this community needs. And that's why this community is as successful as it is because we have people like that in it.
Absolutely. Well, Doug, we are literally out of time. Anything else you want to try to squeak in before we go?
The only other thing I'd say is we are going to have our Youth Entrepreneurship Challenge with the high school kids on March the 11th, I believe, is what we're scheduled for that. So we do welcome the public to watch, kind of like Pitch It, except with high school kids. They do a trade show kind of booth, give their pitch for their idea. And again, you got to start young. Some communities even do junior high kids. Entrepreneurship Challenge. So we may even look into that at some point in time. But, that's cool. On March the 11th.
Let's talk more about that next time.
That sounds like a plan.